بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمستمعين والمسلمين. يقول الشيخ المجدد الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب ما جاء في قوله تعالى: ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده الحسنى فلننبئن الذين كفروا بما عملوا ولنذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ. قال مجاهد: هذا بعملي وأنا محقوق فيه. وقال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما: يريد من عندي. وقوله قال: إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. قال كتادته: على علم مني بوجوه المكاسب. وقال الآخرون: على علم من الله أني له أهل. وهذا معنى قول مجاهد: أوتيته على شرف. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إن ثلاثة من بني إسرائيل أبرص وأقرع وأعمى، فأراد الله أن يبتليهم فبعث إليهم ملكا، فأتى الأبرص فقال: أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال: لون حسن وجلد حسن ويذهب عني الذي قدرني الناس به. قال: فمسحه فذهب عنه قدره، فأوتي لونا حسنا وجلدا حسن. قال: فأي المال أحب إليك؟ قال: الإبل والبقرة. شك إسحاق. فأوتي ناقة عشراء وقال: بارك الله لك فيها. قال: فأتى الأقرع فقال: أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال: شعر حسن ويذهب عني الذي قد قدرني الناس به. فمسحه فذهب عنه. وأوتي شعرا حسنا فقال: أي المال أحب إليك؟ قال: البقر والأبل. فأوتي بقرة هاملا قال: بارك الله لك فيها. قال: فأتى الأعمى فقال: أي شيء أحب إليك؟ قال: أن يرد الله إلي بصري فأبصر به الناس. فمسحه فرد الله إليه بصره. قال: فأي المال أحب إليك؟ قال: الغنم. فأوتي شاة والدا فأنتج هذان وولد هذا. فكان لهذا واد من الإبل ولهذا واد من البقر ولهذا واد من الغنم. قال: ثم أنه أتى الأبرص في صورته وهيئته فقال: رجل مسكين قد انقطعت بي الحبال في سفري، فلا بلاغ لي اليوم إلا بالله، ثم بك أسألك بالذي أعطاك اللون الحسن والجلد الحسن والمال بعيرا أتبلغ به في سفري. فقال: الحقوق كثيرة. فقال له: كأني أعرفك، ألم تكن أبرصا يقدرك الناس فقيرا فأعطاك الله عز وجل مال؟ فقال: إنما ورثت هذا المال كابرا أن كابر. فقال: إن كنت كاذبا فسيرك الله إلى ما كنت. قال: وأتى الأقرع في صورته فقال له مثل ما قال لهذا، ورد عليه مثل ما رد عليه هذا، فقال: إن كنت كاذبا فسيرك الله إلى ما كنت. قال: وأتى الأعمى في صورته فقال: رجل مسكين وابن السبيل قد انقطعت بي الحبال في سفري، فلا بلاغ لي اليوم إلا بالله، ثم بك أسألك بالذي رد عليك بصرك شاة أتبلغ بها في سفري. فقال: قد كنت أعمى فرد الله إلي بصري، فخذ ما شئت ودع ما شئت، فوالله لا أجحدك اليوم بشيء أخذته لله. فقال: أمسك مالك فإنما ابتليتم، فقد رضي الله عنك وسقط على صاحبيك. أخرجاه. المسائل الأولى في تفسير الآية. الثانية: ما معنى يقولن هذا لي؟ الثالثة: ما معنى إنما أوتيت على علم عندي. الرابعة: ما في هذه القصة العجيبة من العبر العظيمة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله أرسله رحمة للعالمين، فبلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، وترك أمته يوم تركها على محجة على طريق واضح، طريق الهدى. من تمسك به وأحسن السير أفضى به ووصله إلى رضوان الله، فصلوات الله وسلامه على رسوله ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين، فقد كانوا نعم الصحب، حملوا راية الجهاد ونقلوا للأمة كل ما سمعوه ورأوه عن رسول الهدى صلى الله عليه وسلم. فصار المسلم في هذا الزمن عندما يطلع على ما تركه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الآثار النبوية، الأحاديث وحديث الصحابة عما رأوا، كأنما هو يعيش معهم في ذلك الزمن. وهذا في فضل من فضل الله على هذه الأمة، أنها كلما أرادت أن تشاهد وتعلم ما كان عليه رسول الهدى وجدت هذا ميسرا، فرضي الله عن الصحابة أجمعين وتابعيهم وتابعي تابعيهم، وهم الذين شهد لهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم خير الناس بعد الأنبياء، كما في الحديث الصحيح قول المصطفى: خير الناس بعد الأنبياء الذين بعثوا فيهم، يعني الصحابة. قال: ثم الذين يلونهم، وهؤلاء التابعون. قال: ثم الذين يلونهم وهؤلاء أتباع التابعين. هذه الطبقات الثلاث هي خير الناس بعد الأنبياء، وهم الذين حملوا هذه الشريعة وبلغونا إياها. هذه الشريعة مليئة بالعبر في القرآن الكريم والسنة النبوية، ومن هذه العبر ما سمعناه هذا اليوم. فهذا الباب الذي عقده شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمة الله عليه، قال: باب ما جاء في قول الله تعالى: ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده للحسنى فيرد الله عليه: فلننبئن الذين كفروا بما عملوا ولنذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ. ابن آدم ضعيف، إذا جاءته بلية عظيمة عرف أنه خلق مخلوق تحت رحمة الخالق، فإذا زالت عنه نسي ما كان حل به من البلاء وغفل عن النعمة التي جاءت. ولذلك يقول الله في آية أخرى: مر كأن لم يدعنا إلى ضر مسه. ثم يزيد على ذلك يقول: ما أظن الساعة قائمة، في نعيم صحة ورغد عيش ما يظن، لكن لو وقعت يقول عند الله لي حسنة. بماذا؟ بالمعاصي؟ لا، إنما جعل الله الجنة لأهل التقوى. قال الله جل وعلا: فلننبئن الذين كفروا ما عملوا. ما يأخذهم الله جل وعلا ويقول لا، لا، يريهم أعمالهم. يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرة وما عملت من سوء، نسأل الله العافية. فيقول الله: ولننذيقنهم من عذاب غليظ. يقول، قال مجاهد رحمة الله عليه أحد كبار التابعين، يقول بلادنا هذا المسكين لما يكون في نعمة قال: هذا حصلته بعملي، مثل ما قال قارون: إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. نسي أن الله هو الذي يعطي هذا ويمنحه، قال: هذا بعلمي. أو يقولها أنا محكوم، الله علم أنني أهل لهذا هذه المنزلة وهذا الجاه وهذا المال فأعطاني لأني كفء لذلك، ما علم أن ذلك استدراج من الفعال لما يريد. يقول قال ابن عباس يريد هذا المسكين الذي يقول أنا محقوق أو أنا على علم عندي، يقول إن هذا الذي رأيتم عندي إنما حصلته أنا بجهدي. كم من غني موسل عليه في كل أمور دنيا يخدمه الحذاق الأذكياء الجادون في العمل، فالفضل كله لله جل وعلا. يقول قوله إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. قال قتادة هذا اللي قال هذا الكلام ذا، هذا قارون لما قال الناس إنه لذو حظ عظيم وأعطاه الله من المال، ما أن المفاتيح التي تفتح الخزائن بها يعجز عن حملها العدد من الناس. ثم يقول ذلك المسكين إنما أوتيت هذا على علم عندي، ذكاء مفرط ومعرفة في تحصيل أسباب الكسب. وقال آخر على علم من الله أني له أهل، يعني لما نجد هذا فقير وهذا غني نقول لا الله عارف أن الله علم أن هذا كفء لهذا المال، وذاك المسكين ما هو كفء إذا خلاه يقعد. لا، الله جل وعلا يعطي الدنيا من يحب ومن لا يحب، ولا يعطي الجنة إلا من يحب. الجنة هي التي محصورة بأهل محبة الله جل وعلا، وأما الدنيا فأكثر من يكون في رغد من هم أبعد عن طاعة الله. وقال آخرون على علم من الله أني أهل. وقوله قال مجاهد أوتيته على شرف، يعني أني حصلت هذه الدنيا لشرفي العالي. ثم جاء بالحديث هؤلاء الثلاثة، ثم العجب أن بني إسرائيل هم ذرية يعقوب عليه السلام، يعقوب ابن إسحاق عليه السلام ابن الخليل خليل الرحمن إبراهيم، ذرية يعقوب هؤلاء في شر عظيم. هم الذين قالوا لموسى اذهب أنت وربك فقاتل إن هاهنا قاعدون، هم الذين يقول الله عنهم كلما أوقدوا نار الحرب أطفأها الله. هؤلاء الثلاثة منهم، هذا رجل كثيف سبقت له الهداية، هؤلاء الثلاثة أبرص صبهم بالبرص لون يقشعر الناس منه وينفرون من مجالسته، وأقرع لم يبق له شعر في رأسه يحتقره الناس، وأعمى. هؤلاء من بني إسرائيل من ذرية ذلك النبي الذي جاء ذكره في القرآن الكريم، ابتلاهم الله جل وعلا فأرسل لهم ملكا في صورة إنسان، سأله كله إحنا سأله عن حاله كيف أنت؟ ما الذي تريد؟ إلا أبرص قال أريد أن يذهب عني هذا اللون الذي كرهني الناس بسببه وأبغضوني، هذا الذي أريد. مسحه هذا الملك فزال ذلك الداء الذي شوهه في نظره. قال أي المال؟ قال الإبل أو البقر، فأعطي ناقة عشرة. الناقة إذا كانت في بطنها ولد يسمى عشرة. وقال بارك الله لك، فذهب إلى الأقرع وسأله وأجاب ما سمعنا، يرجو أن الله يرد له شعرا جميل ويزول عنه القرع الذي كره الناس كرهه إلى الناس. فمسح ورد الله عليه الشعر الحسن، والله قادر على كل شيء جل وعلا. قال أي المال أحب إليك؟ قال البقر أو الغنم، فأعطي بقرة حاملا يعني في بطنها ولد، وقال له بارك الله لك. وجاء للأعمى فسأله عن حاله فشكى له حاله، قال ما الذي تريد؟ قال أريد أن الله يرد لي بصري ليرى الناس به. فمسح فرد الله لي بصره. أي المال؟ قال الغنم والبقر، فأعطي شاة والدا. فولد هؤلاء، وأنتج هؤلاء وولد هذا. ثم جاء الملك بعد زمن، وإذا هذا له واد من الإبل، وصاحب البقر له واد من البقر، وصاحب الغنم له واد من الغنم. فجاء للأول قال رجل انقطعت بالحبال في سفري، ولا حول لي ولا قوة إلا بالله، ثم بك أطلب منك بعيرا أتبلغ عليه في سفري، أستعمله أستفيد منه. فقال الحقوق كثيرة، يعني لو أعطيت من كل من يريد بعيرا نفذت الإبل. قالوا كأني أعرفك، ألم تكن فقيرا؟ قال إنما ورثت هذا المال كابرا عن كابر، يعني أبا عن جد، يعني إن كنت كاذبا فصيرك الله إلى ما كنت. ففقد ماله بأمر إلهي، وعاد إليه بلاؤه، وذهب للأقرع، وكان جوابه كما أجاب الأبرص، فصار الدعاء عليه وعاد إلى حالته السيئة، وذهب إلى الأعمى وقد وفقه الله. فلما قال تلك المقالة، قال نعم كنت أعمى، فرد الله إليه بصري وأعطاني هذا المال، فوالله لا أجهدك في شيء، لا أمنعك من شيء تأخذه لوجه الله، فقد كنت فقيرا فقال أمسك عليك مالك، فقد ابتليتم ورضي الله عنك وسخط على صاحبيك. هذا ما نسب الاثنان المال إلى الله، كل واحد منهم ادعى في معرفته، كما قال قارون لما قال الناس له من قومه لقد أوتي حظا عظيما، قال لهم إنما أوتيته على علم عندي. ولما أراد الله أن ينتقمه حسف الله به وبداره الأرض في نفس مصر. الله قال عنه إن قارون كان من قوم موسى فبغى عليهم، تجبر لما أعطاه الله المال له من قوم موسى. ثم لما أصابته البلية صار يستنقذ بموسى عليه السلام، ما استنقذ بالله، إن الله أراد أن يكفي له إلى جهده، وجهده يستنقذ بموسى، فهو يتجلجل في النار. هذا الحديث الواقع هو من العبر، الإنسان ينبغي الأقرع والأبرص كل واحد من أسند الفضل لنفسه ولم يسنده لله، وجعل ما كسب إنما هو بحذقه وذكره كما فعل قارون. والأعمى أسند الفضل إلى صاحب الفضل جل وعلا ولم يمنع خيرا، بل أمر الرجل ذلك الشخص أن يأخذ ما شاء. ثم في هذه المسائل الأربع، الأول منها تتعلق ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي، يعني هذه الرحمة الزين وهذا الشيء الجميل الذي حصل لي لأني أهل لذلك، وما أظن الساعة قائمة. وإن كان فيه رجوع للآخرة مثل ما قال صاحب اللي في الكهف لأجد وأجد، قال إن لي عند ربي حسنى، فرد الله عليه بأنه أعد لمن عصاه عذابا أليما. ثم ذكر المسألة الثانية قوله لا يقولن هذا لي، يعني هذا الشيء اللي بين يدي لأنني أهل لذلك. ومن جهل الناس لما يصاب أحدا بعقوبة يقول هذا ما هو أهل لهذه العقوبة، ما كان ينبغي أن يصاب بها. لا، لما يصاب إنسانا بعقوبة فالذي الفعال لما يريد أعلم، إما أن يكون هذا الذي يصيب بهذه العقوبة مسرفا على نفسه بالسوء فانتقم الله منه، أو أن له منزلة في الآخرة ولن يبلغها بالعمل الذي أداه، فتأتيه مصيبة تكون سببا في علو منزلته. ولذلك في الحديث الصحيح أن المؤمن ما يصيبه أذى إلا ويكون سبب خير له، والكافر ما يصيبه أذى إلا يكون سببا لشقائه، يعترض على الله ويقول عن نفسه لست أنا أهلا لذلك، ما كان ينبغي أن أعامل بهذه المعاملة، يعترض على الفعال لما يريد. يقول الثالثة، معنى ما معنى قول أوتيته على علم عندي؟ هذا كلام قارون، أموال وخزائن عظيمة والمفاتيح تنوع بحملها العصبة من الرجال، ومع ذلك يقول أوتيته على علم عندي. ما في بني إسرائيل واحد مثله في العلم، لكن الله جل وعلا هو الحكم العدل. الإنسان إذا أعطي نعمة عظيمة من مال أو جاه أو ذرية أو عشيرة، ينبغي أن يحمد الذي جلب هذا الرزق له. الله يقول وما بكم من نعمة، يعني أي نعمة فيكم من الله، ولو أردتم أن تحصوا فضل الله عليكم ما قدرتم، وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها، إنما على العبد أن يشكر ربه جل وعلا. يقول هنا في الرابعة، المسألة الرابعة، ما في هذه القصة العجيبة من عبرنا عبر ثلاثة، كل واحد منهم كان على وضع محرج له، كره الحياة عنده، ثم أزيلت لا بجهد أحد منهم وإنما بفضل المتفضل بكل نعمة، لكن أحدا تكون الشقاوة قد سبقت له كالأبرص والعقرع، وأحد قد يكون الله جل وعلا وفقه، والإنسان في هذه الحياة لا بد أن توافيه أمور عليه أن يحرص على توقيها، لكن إذا وقعت ينبغي أن يعلم أنه ما كان شيء يمكن أن يصرفها، وإنما إذا وقعت يقول إنا لله، يعني ما دام أننا ملك لله وهو الذي يتصرف فينا كما يشاء، إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. ما الذي يحصل لمن يكون بهذه الصفة؟ أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة، فنسأل الله جل وعلا يجعلنا جميعا من عباده الشاكرين، وأن لا يعرضنا للفتن، كما نسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يصرف عن كل بلد من بلاد الإسلام كل لأواء وشر وفتنة، وأن يصرف عن كل مسلم كل بلاء ومحنة، إنه موجب الدعاء. صلى الله عليه وسلم.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. For tonight's lesson began by praising Allah and sending salams upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the individual who left us upon that which is clear, there is no deviation or unclarity in it, the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a clear path. And it is that which, if an individual holds and adheres to, it would lead him to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Lead him to the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, may the peace and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla be upon his companions, the best of the people, the individuals who fought with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the individuals who transmitted to us that which they heard and that which they saw from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that individuals at a later time, such as ourselves and others, if we want to search for and know that which was left behind by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can read that which was transmitted by the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it becomes as if we were present during his time. Meaning that which we see, or that which we read, that which we read of the statements of the companions concerning the beloved, our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is as if we're living at his time. And there's no doubt that this is the merits of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with them. And likewise, may Allah Azza wa Jal be pleased with the Tabi'een and the Atba' al-Tabi'een, the generation after the companions and those who came after them. For verily, they are the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers. As it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of the people are my generation, and then the generation that comes after, and the generation that comes after. So they are the best of the people after the prophets and the messengers, and they are the ones who carried the religion and the legislation. The Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala mentioned, indeed, in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have that which we take an example from. Indeed, in the Quran and in the Sunnah, we have that which we take an example from. And from amongst those things that we take an example from and a lesson from is the long hadith which is mentioned in this chapter. And this is the chapter that Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his book concerning the statement of Allah ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, where Allah ta'ala says, and when we give them mercy after a calamity has befallen them, they would say, verily this is from me. And indeed, I do not believe that the hour will come. And if I return to my Lord, indeed, I will find good with him. Allah Ta'ala responds by saying, indeed, we will inform those who disbelieve of that which they have done, and we will allow them to taste from a tremendous punishment. The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned an explanation of that verse. He said, indeed, the children of Adam, they are weak. And when a trial or a calamity comes to them, they realize that they are from the creation of Allah. They realize that they are from the creation of Allah. And when the calamity or the trial or the difficulty is removed, then they forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. And they forget about the calamity which has befallen them. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in another verse of the Quran, when the calamity is lifted from them, مَرَّ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَدْعُونَا إِلَى دُرٍ مَسَّةٍ. And the individual, after the calamity is lifted, he acts as if nothing has ever befallen him. He forgets about Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is because the individual, he's living comfortably, his health is good, so he forgets about Allah Azza wa Jal. And the individuals, they should think that one, and it is Allah Azza wa Jal going to give Jannah to an individual who sins, and they continue upon their sins. And like we have in the ayat where the individual says, and if I would return to my Lord, I would find good with him. So the Shaykh said, does the individual think that he would gain the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal with sin? He said, indeed, the paradise of Allah is only for the people of taqwa. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala says, we will inform them about that which they did, and we will let them taste a painful punishment. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibahullah Ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal will show you your actions. Allah will show you your disobedience. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Ta'ala, where Allah mentioned, and everyone would see that which he did of good and that which he did of evil. So Allah Azza wa Jal is going to show you your actions. Then he mentioned the statements of Mujahid, one of the senior from amongst the Tabi'een. He explained the verse by saying, this is my actions. Verily, I deserve this. Yani, that which Allah has given the individual of blessings, the person says, I deserve it. I deserve that which Allah has given me. And likewise, the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he said, this is from me. I am the cause of it. So he does not ascribe But he does not, now, he does not refer to Allah in the terms of the blessings, but he refers to himself, this is from me. And likewise, the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Qasas, where the individual Qarun, where he said, verily, this is from my knowledge. And in my knowledge allowed me to become rich and the likes of that. And it was mentioned in the statement of Qatada, where he said, I have knowledge of how to earn, so that's why I am rich and the likes. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that Qarun, this was his statement. He felt that that which was bestowed upon him of tremendous wealth was because of his own efforts. And he forgot that it was Allah Azza wa Jalla that had given him these things. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that this is istidraj. Yani this is Allah Azza wa Jalla leading you to your destruction. That you would in fact forget the one who has bestowed his blessings upon you. Then he mentioned, yani if it was the case that an individual would become rich because of his knowledge, the Shaykh said, how many rich individuals do we see, and kings and the likes of that? They have the most smart of individuals around them serving them. They have geniuses around them serving them and tending to their business. And at times the genius is smarter than the king himself or the ruler himself. So how is it that you are ascribing your richness to knowledge, and you have individuals who are smarter than you and they work under you? Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, about the affair of Qarun, and he mentioned, indeed this individual had a tremendous amount of wealth, so much so that the keys to his treasures could not be carried by large groups of men. Any large groups of men, strong, they could not carry the keys of the treasures of Qarun. That's how tremendous his wealth was. Then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned, it's for everyone to understand that Allah Azza wa Jal gives the dunya to those whom he loves and those whom he doesn't love. Allah Azza wa Jal gives the dunya to believers and non-believers. But Allah Azza wa Jal only gives paradise to believers. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you wealth is not within itself an indication that Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. And an example of that, or proof for that, is the fact that most of the people in this world who are rich and have an easy life, they are the furthest away from this, they are the furthest away from obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Most of the individuals who have ease and wealth, they are the individuals who are disobedient to Allah and they do not believe in Allah. So this is not an indication that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with you. And likewise, an individual who says, I've been given this wealth, you know, I've been honored with this. Indeed, this is once again incorrect. And then the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala went on to explain the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about three individuals from amongst Bani Israel. And the Shaykh mentioned that this is the lineage of Ya'qub, or this is the offspring of the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the son of Ishaq, who was the son of Ibrahim, Khalilullah Azza wa Jal. Yani Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam being titled as Khalilullah. So these individuals that are mentioned in this story are from amongst the people of Israel, who are from the lineage of Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam. And these individuals were afflicted with three afflictions. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned that the lineage of the offspring of Ya'qub, these individuals were upon major evil. These individuals were upon major evil. From amongst their statements is when they mentioned to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَاعِدُونَ. When they mentioned to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when Musa ordered them and instructed them to fight, they said, you and your Lord go and fight. And they're mentioning to Musa, you and your Lord go and fight. Verily, we are waiting here. And likewise, they are the individuals that Allah Ta'ala mentioned concerning them. Whenever they want to spark the fire of war, whenever they want to start a war, Allah Azza wa Jal puts the fire out. So these individuals were upon major evil. Then the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, but these individuals that are in this hadith, they were afflicted with three afflictions. The first of them was Abras. And that is, he had some skin pigmentation problem, leprosy. And it was something that the people would, you know, distance themselves from it because they did not feel comfortable looking at his skin. And the next was Aqra, and he was bald. And likewise, the people, they did not like to look at such an individual. And the third was an individual who was blind. He could not see the people. Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to test these individuals, so Allah Azza wa Jal sent to them an angel. And the angel in the form of a man approached these individuals and they said, what is loved by you? What do you need? So the first person was approached and he said, I would love that Allah Azza wa Jal takes away this skin pigmentation problem and he replaces it with good skin. So the angel wiped him and the individual was cured and his good skin came back. Then he said, what type of wealth would you like? And he said, I would like camels or cows. So he was given camels. And then the angel supplicated for him. He said, may Allah bless you in that which you have. And then the angel approached the individual who was bald and he said, what would you like? What are you in need of? He said, I would like to have good, nice hair. And I would like Allah to remove that which has affected me so that the people would not, you know, run away from me or the people would not feel uncomfortable around me. So the angel wiped him and he said, and he gave him good hair. And the angel wiped him and he was blessed with good hair. And then he said, what type of wealth would you like? He said, I would like cows or camels. So he was given cows who were pregnant. And likewise, the first individual was likewise given a pregnant camel. This individual was given a pregnant cow. And then the third individual was approached by the angel. And he said, what would you like? He said, I would like Allah Azza wa Jal to replace my eyesight so that I can see the people. So the angel wiped over him and Allah Azza wa Jal gave him back his sight. And then the angel requested from him, what type of wealth would you like? He said, I would like sheep. So he was given a sheep which was pregnant. And all of these animals, the camel and the cow and the sheep, all of them gave birth and they continued to reproduce until they had valleys of camels, valleys of cows and valleys of goats. Then Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to test them. So He sent the angel once again after some time, He sent the angel to the individual who had leprosy. And he said to him, I am a poor individual. And I have nothing to allow me to reach my destination. Can you please give me a camel so that I can reach my destination? Then he said, Afwan, he said, I ask you by Allah and I ask you by the one who has given you this good skin. I ask you by the one who has given you this good skin and the one who has given you this wealth. I ask you of a camel so that I can reach my destination. The individual who had leprosy and was cured, he said, verily there are many responses, I have many obligations. Meaning if I was to give you, the Shaykh Hafizullah Ta'ala commented by saying, if I was to give you and other people, then all of my money would perish. So he said, I cannot give you. He said, aren't you seem familiar to me. Are you not the individual who had leprosy and Allah and the people used to abstain from you, the people used to abandon you, you used to be poor and Allah Azza wa Jal gave you wealth? And he said, no, I inherited my wealth from my father and from my grandfathers. The angel said, if you are lying, may Allah place you in the state that you were in previously. Then the angel went to the individual who was bald and he said the same thing. And the person responded with the same thing. And the angel said, verily, if you are lying, may Allah Azza wa Jal place you in the state that you were in previously. Then the angel approached the individual who was blind and he said to him, I am a poor man and I have nothing to allow me to, I have no means of continuing my journey. I ask you by Allah, the one who returned your sight, that you give me a sheep so that I may continue upon my journey. The blind individual said, verily, I was blind and Allah gave me my sight back. So you can take that which you are pleased with, and you can leave that which you are pleased with. I will not prevent you from anything today. So the angels replied to that individual. He said, keep your wealth. Verily you have been tested. And Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you, and Allah Azza wa Jal is angered by your companions. The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, those two individuals, they did not attribute their blessings to Allah Azza wa Jal, but they attributed to themselves. And this is similar to the statement of Qarun. He attributed his blessings and his wealth to himself and to his knowledge, and he forgot about Allah Azza wa Jal. What it was his final destination? Allah allowed the earth to swallow him and his palaces. So he was swallowed by the earth and he was swallowed by his palaces in Egypt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that Qarun was from amongst the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, but he transgressed the bounds, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished this individual. And even so, when he was being swallowed by the earth, he tried to seek refuge with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah ta'ala, indeed in this hadith is a lesson, and it is upon an individual to contemplate over that which has been mentioned in the hadith. It is upon a believer to attribute the blessings to the one who has given you the blessings, and he is Allah Azza wa Jal. Notice how the blind individual, he mentioned that it was Allah Azza wa Jal who replaced his sight, and it was Allah Azza wa Jal who gave him the wealth. So this individual, Allah Azza wa Jal was pleased with, and when someone requested from him, he said, I will not prevent you from taking anything from me. Naam. So this hadith is a tremendous hadith, and it's for everyone to contemplate and reflect over it. From the issues that were mentioned at the end of the hadith is the meaning of the verse, and that is the verse in Surah Fussilat, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned that He gives mercy to an individual after a calamity has befallen him, and that individual says, verily this is because of me. So he forgets about Allah Azza wa Jal, and he feels that he deserves it. He feels that it belongs to him. He feels that it is from his effort, but he does not return it to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this was similar to the statement of the individual in Surah Al-Kahf, when he felt that this is from me, and if I do return to my Lord, I would find good. So these individuals have forgotten about Allah Azza wa Jal, and they've continued upon their transgression. The second issue is the statement of Allah, لَا يَقُولَنَّ هَذَا لِي. The same thing, that they would attribute the blessings to themselves and they would forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the Shaykh mentioned something which is incorrect, is that there are some people that they know individuals who are afflicted with a calamity, and they said, this person doesn't deserve this. This individual doesn't deserve this calamity. The Shaykh said, this is an incorrect statement. You should not see an individual who is afflicted with a calamity and say, he doesn't deserve this. This shouldn't happen to him. Because it is as if you are opposing Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah does that which he wills. We should understand that Allah Azza wa Jal gives a person a calamity for a reason and for a wisdom. From the wisdom, one is that the person... For one, that the person is upon sin, and Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to purify the person. It is possible that a person is upon sin, so Allah wants to purify the individual or punish the individual, so Allah brings about a calamity in that individual's life. Or Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to place the individual in a very high level in the hereafter, and that individual can only reach that level by way of a calamity. So Allah decrees a calamity so that individual can raise his level in paradise. So you should not oppose that which Allah has decreed for an individual. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a believer is not afflicted with a calamity except that it is good for him. But a disbeliever, when he is afflicted with a calamity, this is bad for that individual. So the believer should be careful in opposing opposing that which Allah has decreed of calamities and trials. Then this next benefit was the third, and that is the statement of Qarun in Surah Al-Qasas, where he said, verily I have been given this because of my knowledge. And the Shaykh mentioned Hadith of Allah Ta'ala that Na'am, that the believer should understand that you should attribute the blessings to the one who has given you the blessings. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. There is no blessing that you have except that it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So you should understand that every single blessing which has been bestowed upon you, it is indeed from Allah Azza wa Jal. So you should have gratefulness to your Lord. And likewise, you cannot count all of the blessings which have been bestowed upon you. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to count all of them. So indeed, the believer should understand that every blessing, it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And the fourth benefit is the fact that this hadith or this story has tremendous benefits. It has tremendous benefits, and it is upon everyone to take the benefits from this story. And now, so the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, and these three individuals in this story, these individuals were afflicted with the calamity so much so that they didn't like their lives. They disliked their lives. They were fed up. They had lost hope. People are, you know, abandoning them and the likes of that. Look how Allah Azza wa Jal removed their calamity. Look how Allah Azza wa Jal removed that which they were complaining about. All three of them, Allah removed their calamity. But there were those who were attributed the blessings to Allah, one of them. So Allah kept his blessing, and those who attributed their blessing to themselves and they denied the fact that it was from Allah, so Allah Azza wa Jal returned them to their previous state. So the believer should understand that you should try your best to you should try your best to avoid afflictions and calamities. You should try your best. But if an affliction or a calamity befalls you, you should understand that it was decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal. And nothing could have prevented it. And you should say, verily to Allah. Now, verily, from Allah we come and to Allah we will return. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So if a calamity befalls you, and you tried everything within your means to stop it, but you weren't able to, you should submit to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and you should know that it is indeed from Allah, and Allah has decreed it to befall you. And you should say, verily from Allah I come, and to Allah I would return. If this is your affair, what would be your reward? أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَالرَّحْمَةِ. Verily, they have the blessings of Allah and the mercy. They have the blessings and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, verily we ask Allah to make us from amongst those who are grateful. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to allow us to be able to be far from calamities and trials and tribulations. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give strength to Islam and to give humiliation to the disbelievers and the munafiqeen, and to allow all types of evil to be removed from the lands of the Muslims. يسأل السائل إذا قرأ في كتب التفسير أن هناك أكثر من سبب لنزول آية واحدة وتختلف هذه الأسباب، فكيف نفهم هذا الاختلاف؟
الذي أنزل الآية هو الله جل وعلا، ولا يمكن أن تدل الآية على معنى وتدل على معنى يضاده، وإنما كلها تتعلق في مصلحة الخلق. ثم أيضا السبب يحتاج الذي يعتمد عليه أن يكون منقولا بالنص عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأما أن يستنتج الناس سببا إنما هي أمور ظنية، فلا يعول عليها بحيث أن يكون هذا في احتمال أنه يوجد تخالف في بعض الأسباب.
The individual is asking, the individual is asking that they read that certain verses were revealed for more than one reason. Yani the same particular verse was revealed for more than one reason. How do we understand the difference in the mentioning of the reasons why a verse was revealed? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who has revealed the ayats, and it is not possible that a verse, would mean more than one thing. It is not possible that a verse would mean more than one thing, which contradict, the two meanings contradict one another. But indeed the verse means the same thing, and both the things that it means does not contradict one another. And all of it is for the benefit of the creation. Likewise, when a reason for a verse being revealed is mentioned, in order for it to be accurate, it has to be a statement of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning that this verse was revealed for such and such reason. If it is not a statement of the Messenger ﷺ, then it's possible that someone has concluded that. It is possible that an individual has concluded that a verse was revealed for a particular reason, and it is possible that it is revealed for that reason. But this is a conclusion, and it is not an actual statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إذا كان الشخص يجتهد في فعل بعض الطاعات أو الحصول على أشياء مثل المال ونحو ذلك أو عمل ومنع من ذلك مع جهد أو مع بذله الأعمال التي يعني يمكنه عن طريقها يحصل على ذلك الشيء، فهل معنى هذا أنه تزكية له، أو المعنى هذا أنه تزكية له؟
الإنسان ليس له إلا ما كتبه الله، ولهذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لابن عباس: واعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك، وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك، إلى آخر الحديث. فالإنسان إذا رغب في حاجة تحصل، أو رغب السلامة من أمر يخشى وقوعه، عليه أن يبذل الأسباب هو، ولكن لا يلزم من بذل الأسباب التي يرى أن المطلب يتم أو أن المرهوب يندفع، وإنما الأمر كله لله جل وعلا. عليه إذا وقع الأمر الذي لا يريده بفقد مطلب يريد حصوله، أو دفع أمر يخشى حصوله، يبذل جهده، فإذا وقع الأمر يسلم الأمر لقضاء الله وقدره، ويعلم أن الله قد شاء هذا الأمر. ولذلك العبد ليس له مشيئة مستقلة، وإنما ما شاء الله كان، وما لم يشاء لم يكن. ولهذا الصحابة لما قال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم في انتظار دفن ميت في المقبرة: ما منكم إلا من عرف مكانه من جنة أو نار، فقالوا: إذن ففيما العمل يا رسول الله؟ قال: اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. والله المستعان.
The individual is asking about if a person tries to do certain things, but they things that they would like to accomplish, but they are prevented. Is this a means, or this is a means of purification? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the affair is only that which Allah Azza wa Jalla, that which takes place is only that which Allah has written. And because of that, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that which has befallen you was not meant to pass you by, and that which passed you by was not meant to occur. So if an individual does his best to try to obtain something, or he does his best to try to safeguard himself from something, then this is something that he's done, and he's tried his best to obtain something or safeguard himself from something. But if it takes place, then it is the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to Allah belongs the affair. to Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the affair. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees will take place. So we should understand and have the firm belief that your will is not independent from the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not independent. You can will something, you can strive for something, but that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed would come about. Because of that, it took place that one time the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were waiting for the burial of the janazah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all of you, his place in paradise and his place in the hellfire is known. So the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, so why are we doing actions? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, continue to do actions, for verily everyone would find easy that which he was created for. يسأل الشخص هل الأبرص والأقرع هل ذهب عنهم أو هل رد عليهم البرص والقرع وذهب عنهم المال؟
نعم، لما تم الاختبار لهم وطلب من كلفه الله جل وعلا بتلك المهمة، فجحد الاثنان فضل الله، قال الملك إن صرت كاذبا فصيرك الله، أي ردك وجعلك على تلك الحال التي أنت أنقذك الله منها. فكل واحد منهم تلف المال وصار الأقرع أقرع وصار الأبرص أبرص، واستمر كفيف البصر مبصرا لقول الملك لهم فقد رضي الله عنك وسخط على صاحبيه، ومقتضى السخط أن تحل العقوبة وقد حلت.
The individual is asking the individual who had leprosy and the blind man, did they lose what they had and did the illness return to them? The Sheikh said yes. That's what took place when Allah Azza wa Jal tested them and they denied the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. The angels said to them, if you are lying, may Allah return you to that which you were or to your previous state. So the individual who had leprosy, that disease returned to him. And the individual who was bald, that also returned to him. And their wealth was also lost. And the individual who was blind, his blessing continued because Allah Azza wa Jal was pleased with that individual. هل يجوز للمسلم أن يصلي وراء إمام يشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولكنه يقع في شرك أكبر؟
إذا كان الإمام يقع في الشرك الأكبر لا يصح أن يصلى خلفه، لا يجوز أن يجعل إماما من يرتكب الشرك الأكبر، فالشرك الأكبر محبط للأعمال كلها. من تاب تاب الله عليه، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمر بن العاص، إن التوبة تجب ما قبلها وإن الإسلام يجب ما قبله. والله المستعان.
Individual is asking, is it permissible for me to pray behind an imam who says لا إله إلا الله but he commits major shirk? The Sheikh said, حديث الله تعالى, it's not correct that you pray behind an imam who commits major shirk. It is not permissible for him to be an imam. Because major shirk takes an individual out of the fold of Islam and it invalidates all of his actions. But indeed, if the individual repents, then Allah accepts his repentance. As was mentioned by Amr bin As, or as the Messenger ﷺ mentioned to Amr bin As, verily repentance wipes away that which came before it. And verily entering into Islam wipes away that which came before it. يقول السائل أحيانا أرى بعض الناس يسألون للأموال في المساجد فهل يجوز لي إعطاهم أموال؟
نعم يجوز، لكن هذا السائل إن كان يسأل من دونه حاجة صحيحة فهذه المسألة تفضحه يوم القيامة، لأن الذي يتسول بغير حق ليس مضطرا يأتي يوم القيامة وليس في وجهه مزعة لحم، فضيحة له بأنه من المتسولين الكاذبين. لأن المسألة ما تحل إلا لثلاثة، كما في حديث قبيصة رضي الله عنه تحمل حمالة وجاء للنبي يسأل، ومعنى الحمالة يلزم الإنسان مال يصلح بين قبيلتين أو بين شخصين بمال يتحمله هو، فيجوز أنه يعطى على قدر تلك الحمالة. الحديث قال النبي لا تحل المسألة إلا ثلاثة: رجل أصابت ماله جائحة كغرق تلف المال جميعه، أو حرق حريق، أو سلب من عدو سلب المال كله ولم يبقى له شيء، أو شخص تحمل حمالة أصلح بين متخاصمين أو جماعة وجماعة بمال يدفعه لهم، أو رجل أصابته فاقة. الاثنان الأولان الحادثة تكون مشتهرة، الثالث لن تصيبه فاقة، يقول النبي حتى يشهد ثلاثة من ذي الحجة، يعني من عقل قومه وصلحائهم، لقد أصابت فلان فاقة، حلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قواما من عيش، وما سوى ذلك فسحت يأخذه صاحبه سحتا. الإنسان لما يجد شخصا يتسول في المسجد يحمد ربه أنه ليس من المتسولين هو، إن كان يعلم أنه كاذب يخبره أنه كاذب ويقول لست هذا كاذب أعرفه أنه غني، وإن كان لا يعلم قد يكون صادق، إن كان صادقا فهذا الذي يحصل عليه حلال له، وإن كان كاذبا فالذي يحصل له محرم عليه وهو آثم، والله المستعان.
The individual is asking about finding people in the masjid seeking assistance, financial assistance. Is it permissible for you to assist that individual? And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala. It is permissible for you to assist someone seeking wealth or financial assistance. But if that individual who is seeking the financial assistance is doing so without an actual need, then this would be a major embarrassment on the Day of Judgment. As it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the person who asks for wealth and they are not in need, they would come on the Day of Judgment and the meat, the skin would be removed from their face. So this is an embarrassment for the individual, a punishment, so that he would come on the Day of Judgment and everyone would know that this individual used to ask without there being a major need. This has come in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned three individuals who it is permissible to ask for wealth. One of the individuals who is a person who has lost, he's actually a person who has wealth, but his wealth has been destroyed. His wealth has drowned, meaning it has fallen into the water, it's become destroyed, or it has been destroyed by way of fire and the likes of that, or it has been stolen by an enemy, so he no longer has any wealth. This is permissible for the individual to ask. Likewise, the individual who uses his wealth to bring reconciliation between two opposing groups, so he uses all of his wealth, this is likewise permissible, becomes likewise permissible for the person to ask. Or the individual who is afflicted with poverty, extreme poverty, it is likewise permissible for this individual to ask in order for him to have something to feed and live off of. The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, so if you notice someone seeking wealth and begging in the masjid, first you should thank Allah that you're not afflicted with this calamity, that Allah has not afflicted you with the same calamity of poverty. As for the individual who is begging, if this individual is lying, then indeed there is a tremendous punishment for him. But if this individual is sincere, then it is permissible for him to do so. يسأل السائل: ما ضابط لبس المرأة المسلمة وكيف تميز بين لبس الملابس التي تشبه ملابس الكافرات، يعني ظاهر سائلة، تشبه ملابس الكافرات، وبين الملابس التي يجوز لها لبسها؟
المرأة المسلمة مطلوب منها أن تعتني باللباس الساتر الذي لا يبقى معه مجال لأن ينظر إلى ما لا يحل النظر إليه من الرجال الأجانب، وذلك بالثياب الضافية التي تغطي اليدين والقدمين والوجه والرأس، لأن كما في حديث أم سلمة قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: يجوز للمرأة أن ترسل خلفها من كسائها شبرا. قالت أم سلمة: إذن ينكشف يا رسول الله مع المشي. قال: ذراعا ولا تزد. لا نقول ذراع، بس تجعل الثوب إلى أن يصل يغطي العقبين، فالمرأة ينبغي أن تستر عقبيها وساقيها وخفيها وذراعيها عن أن ينظر لهم الرجال إليها الرجال. ولا شك أن الرجال ينظرون إلى الكف، والشاعر العربي يقول: ولم يتطربني بنان مخضب، يعني الأصبع الذي عليه الخضاب. الشيء الثاني أيضا أن تستر المرأة ما يتعلق بالوجه، والوجه هو مركز الجمال والفتنة، وإذا قيل امرأة حسنة ما ينصرف ذهن السامع إلا إلى الوجه، وإذا قيل إنها امرأة فاقدة للحسن ما يأتي إلى ذهن الواحد إلا ما يتعلق بالوجه، فتنبغي أن تحرص على ذلك. كذلك بالنسبة لتفصيل الجسد، ما تبدو المرأة أمام الرجال والجسد يتبين للناس تقاطيع جسدها، ارتفاع الصدر، الثديين، العجيزة، تحرص المرأة على أن يكون اللباس ساترا. والنبي أخبر أنه ما ترك فتنة أضر على الرجال من النساء كما في صحيح مسلم وغيره. والنبي أخبر أيضا أن أول فتنة وقعت في بني إسرائيل بسبب النساء. فالمرجو من النساء المسلمات أن يحرصن على الصيانة، ويتجنبن ما يكون به إغراء الرجال وفتنهم، ونسأل الله هداية الجميع، والله أعلم.
Individuals asking, what is the ruling on the clothing of the Muslim female, and how can she distinguish between that which is permissible for her to wear and that which is not permissible? And the Sheikh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, that which is befitting and sought from the Muslim female is that she covers properly, and she does not allow any chance for men to look at her. She wears the clothing which is white. She wears the clothing which is white and it's covering. She covers her feet, she covers her face, she covers her hands, she covers her head. This was mentioned in the hadith of Umm Salama, where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the raising of the thobe or the clothing. So Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, "Ya Rasulullah, if we raise it, it would, you know, expose our feet." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "No, the female should lower it. Females should lower it." So this shows that it's upon the woman to cover her feet. So the female should cover her feet, she should cover her shins, she should cover her body from men. And there's no doubt that the hands is from this, because the men, they look at the hands. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned a line of poetry where the men, they used to look at the hands, they used to look at the fingers, and they used to describe them with beauty. So the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, so likewise it's upon her to cover her face, because this is the central place of beauty, of a female's beauty. And if the statement is said, a beautiful woman, the first thing that comes to mind is her face. She's beautiful. And if the statement is said that a female who is not beautiful, the first thing that comes to mind is that you're referring to her face. So this shows you the center of a woman's beauty lies in her face. Likewise, she should not wear any clothing which is fitting, that shows the specific or the detailed shape of her body, for example, her chest and the likes of that. She should not wear this type of clothing that is fitting. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he had not left any trial greater upon the man than the female, and this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the first trial for the people of Israel was the female. So if that which is befitting is that the female are very diligent in covering themselves and protecting themselves. يقول الشخص أو يقول السائل في حي يبنون مسجدا يعني هم أثناء بناء المسجد حاليا وهناك مسجد صغير يصلي فيه الناس فهل واجب علي أن أصلي في ذاك المسجد؟
ما دام المسجد يبنى ويوجد مسجد صغير تقام فيه الصلاة فينبغي أن يعتنى بالصلاة فيه حتى يتم بناء المسجد الذي ينشأ الآن ولعله يتسع للجميع إن شاء الله.
Individuals asking, in my neighborhood there's a masjid being built and beside it there's a small masjid that the people pray in. Is it obligatory for me to pray in that masjid? The Sheikh said it's befitting that you do so because the masjid is being built and they have placed a small masjid there, so you should pray in that small masjid until the true masjid is completed. يسأل السائل عن طالب في جامعة ما جامعة الإسلامية الظاهر وأنه سوف يتخرج قريبا فهل الأفضل أن يذهب إلى بلده ويقوم بالدعوة أو هل يجوز له البقاء في المملكة العربية السعودية للعمل؟
لا شك أن هذا الشخص وأمثاله الذين يدرسون في المملكة السعودية العلم الشرعي وما يتعلق بالعقيدة والدعوة إلى الله خير للواحد منهم أن يحمل راية الدعوة ويرجع إلى بلده لعل الله أن يهدي قرابته وأهل بلده ومن يلتصل بهم. والنبي أخبر أن هداية واحد فقط على يد من يدعو خير له من الأموال الطائلة، فقد قال النبي لعلي رضي الله عنه قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم، يعني خير لك من أن تملك الأموال النفيسة، وكانت أنفس أموال العرب الإبل وأحلاها الإبل الحمر. فهذا الداعي الذي يدعو الآن ينبغي لها أن يحتسب إذا انتهى يتوجه إلى بلده لعل الله يكون به جماعة فتؤسس دولة تحمل راية الحق والهدى، فيكون يفوز هو بأجور من اتبعوه وأجور من يتبعون أولئك من دون أن ينتقص من أجورهم شيء. والله الموفق.
The individual is asking, is soon going to graduate from a university, is it better for him to go back to his country to start da'wah or to stay in Saudi Arabia? And the Sheikh mentioned Hadith Allah Ta'ala, there's no doubt upon that individual and others who are similar to him who are studying Islamic education and aqidah in Saudi Arabia, that which is better for them is for them to go back and give da'wah so that they carry the flag of Islamic propagation. It's possible that this individual goes back to his country and he guides his family, he guides the people of his society, and there's no doubt that this is wonderful for them. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that this is better than tremendous large amounts of wealth. This was mentioned to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah guiding by way of you one individual is better for you than the red camel. The red camel during the time of the Arab, this used to be a tremendous or a precious asset for them. So this was something tremendous. So this individual who is studying, he should seek the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's possible by way of him, there are a group of people who establish the correct religion and they are upon guidance. So he would gain reward for his da'wah, and he would likewise gain a reward for calling all of them and those who follow them. امرأة تسأل عندها شيء من الذهب تلبسه للمناسبات فهل عليها أو فهل عليه زكاة؟
القول الراجح كلام أهل العلم أن الذهب إذا بلغ نصابا وجبت فيه الزكاة لبس أو لم يلبس، وهذا مذهب أبي حنيفة رحمة الله عليه.
Females asking, I have a certain
لكن النصاب هو 20 مثقالا عند أهل العلم قدامى، وهو بالوزن العصري يعني ما يزن 85 جرام من الذهب الخالص. إذا كان ذهب المرأة يبلغ 80 جرام، 85 جراما ذهبا خالص، فصحيح فيه الزكاة، وإذا كان أقل من ذلك فلا زكاة فيه.
Females asking, I have a certain amount of gold that I wear for occasions. Is it obligatory upon me to pay zakat? The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, the most correct opinion from amongst the statements of the people of knowledge is that if the gold reaches a specific amount or weight, then it is obligatory that you pay zakat. This is the most correct opinion. And this was the opinion of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah Ta'ala. The Shaykh mentioned the present day measurement for that is 25 grams. So if the weight of the pure gold reaches 25 grams, then it is incumbent that you pay zakat. And if it is less, then it is not incumbent. Okay. 85. يسأل السائل أخت مصابة بوسوسة الشياطين قد نقضت بعد أيام صيامها من رمضان ظنا أنها قد وقعت في نواقض الصيام ولكنها لم تقع في النواقض فعلها كذا كان مبنيا على هذه الوسوسة فكذلك عندها كثرة الإنزال الذي يوجب عليها الغسل فيصب عليها قضاء صيامها فجاء رمضان قبل قضاء صيامها من رمضان الماضي فهي تريد أن تعرف هل عليها شيء من الكفارة علما أنها نقضت صيامها ظنا أنها قد وقعت في النواقض الصيام ولم تقع فيها.
أولا، من يصاب بالوسوسة لا يستسلم لها إلا بشيء متيقن، وإلا يبني على الأصل السلامة. وبالنسبة لهذه المرأة، ما دامت أنها لم يحصل منها ما ينقض الصوم، فالأصل بقاء الصيام سالما، وفيما تشير إليه من كثرة الإنزال، هذا الإنزال الذي يفسد الصوم إنما هو ما يكون عن جماع أو عن محاولة معالجة للإنزال، كالذي يعمله بعض الرجال الإنزال الاستمناء أو نكاح اليد وأمثال ذلك هذا يفسد الصوم بدون شك. وأما ما تجده المرأة أو يجده الرجل من إنزال المني بحلم يحتلم أنه جامع وهو ما جامع لكن يجد الماء هذا لا ينقض صوما وإنما ينقض الطهارة فقط. ولذلك فغالب ما تشكو منه هذه المرأة إنما هي أسباب الوسوسة ينبغي ألا تستسل للوسوسة إلا بما تجزم يقينا أنه حاصل.
The female is asking that in Ramadan she's affected by whispers of the shaitan, and she broke some of the days, or she thought that she broke some of the days of Ramadan because she was whispered to, and she was said that you have done something which has broken your fast. So she wants to know that she had an expiation, and likewise she is affected by some type of something which comes out of her privates, and she feels that it makes ghusl obligatory upon her. So she wants to know what's the ruling in that regard. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, an individual who is affected by whispers of the shaitan, they should not submit to these whispers, and they should only submit to that which they are certain of. So if it is mere whispers that are approaching the individual, they should ignore them. They should ignore them. And as long as the individual has not done something to actually break the fasting, then the origin is that the fasting is correct. The origin is that the fasting is correct, and the person continues. As for that which she believes that she has this type of liquid that comes out, and she feels that it breaks the fast, the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that which would break the fast is if she was having intercourse. If she broke the fast because of having intercourse, if she had intercourse, then that would break the fast. And likewise, if a male or female, if they perform that which is called masturbation, if they did that, that would also break the fast. But if an individual merely feels that without intercourse and without masturbation, that they have broken the fast because of the appearance of a liquid, that is not correct. And it hasn't broken the fast. And the Shaykh mentioned, even if a person has a dream and he feels that he has had intercourse and the likes of that, that by itself does not break the fast. هل يجوز يسأل السائل ويقول هل يجوز للشخص ليس طالبا للعلم أن يكون له يد في الدعوة من حيث تنظيم الدورات العلمية والدروس وتجهيز الأماكن وتنظيم سفر المشايخ وطلاب العلم إلى مساجد ومناطق للدعوة أو هل لابد أن يكون طالبا للعلم؟ أحسن الله عليك.
من بذل عملا أو مالا في سبيل الدعوة إلى الله جل وعلا يبتغي بذلك وجه الله فإنه يشمله حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. والنبي يقول من جهز غازيا فقد غزا، ومن خلف غازيا في أهله يعني يحوطهم ويحميهم ويتولى السعي في نفقتهم فقد غزا. وأشرف الأعمال التطوعية لا شك الجهاد في سبيل الله. فإذا كان الذي يعين غازيا ولو لم يغزو يكون كأنه غزا، أو يقوم بحاجات أهل الغازي بما لا يستطيعون القيام به للإحضار إليهم يكون كأنه غزا. فمن يبذل شيئا في سبيل الدعوة تحصيل هداية من يدعون إلى الحق شريك في لهؤلاء الدعاة في أثر هذه الدعوة.
The individual is asking, is it permissible for a person who is not a student of knowledge to have a hand in giving da'wah or in the affair of da'wah with regards to organizing lessons or seminars or preparing places and preparing scholars and students to travel to these places, or is it mandatory that he's a student of knowledge? And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, an individual who strives to do an action or to give wealth for the purpose of da'wah, seeking the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this individual falls under the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Verily actions are by their intentions, and everyone would have that which he intended. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, whoever prepares an individual to fight in the way of Allah, it is as if he is fighting in the way of Allah. And whoever takes care of the family of someone who has gone to fight in the way of Allah, it is as if he has fought in the way of Allah. There's no doubt, the greatest of actions, or supererogatory actions, the greatest of supererogatory actions is fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And if the reward for an individual, if the reward for an individual who prepares someone to fight in the way of Allah, or takes care of his family, is as if he has fought, then this is a tremendous reward. With that being the case, if anyone does an action or they give in charity for the purpose of da'wah, then this individual has taken part in the actions of the callers themselves. يسأل السائل عن شراء سيارة عن طريق التقسيط.
لا بأس بذلك إذا كانت الأقساط لا يترتب عليها ربا. أما إذا كان القسط إذا حل ولم يستطع أن يدفع يضاف ما إليه ما يسمى بالربح المركب، فهذا هو عين الربا. إذا سلم من ذلك فلا بأس.
The individual is asking about buying a car on installments. The Sheikh said it's permissible to purchase a car on installments as long as there's no interest involved. For example, if the time for purchasing the car or the time for paying the installment comes and the individual cannot pay the installment, so they add to the price of the car or they add to the amount of the installment, then this is actual riba. This is interest, and that is the form of business transaction which is not permissible.
أولا نحمد الله جل وعلا على ما يسر من هذا اللقاء، ونسأله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعل عملنا جميعا خالصا لوجهه، موافقا لسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، نافعا لنا في أمر ديننا ودنيانا، وأن يتقبل منا ما نؤديه من صالح من العمل الصالح، وأن يتجاوز عن التقصير، كما نسأله جل وعلا بأسمائه وصفاته أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين ويذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يحفظ علينا أمننا في هذه البلاد على ديننا ودنيانا، وأن يحقق ذلك للمسلمين في كل مكان، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يعاجل أهل سوريا بانكشاف هذه المحنة والقضاء على شر هذا أو هذه الدولة الطاغية الفاجرة مع هذا النصيري الخبيث الباطني وحزبه وأعوانه، وأن يرينا في دولة روسيا وإيران وحكومة العراق والصين الشعبية والحزب الفاجر في لبنان، أن يرينا فيهم العجائب في إمدادهم هذا الطاغية والمساعدة على تيسير الأمور له ونصرته، فنسأل الله جل وعلا أن يرينا آثار نعمته جل وعلا في هؤلاء الظالمين، وأن يهدي أهل سوريا بسبيل الحق ويرزقهم الإخلاص لوجهه جل وعلا، ويرزقنا ذلك بمنه وكرمه، كما نسأله سبحانه أن يفرج كرب المكروبين من المسلمين في كل مكان، ويفك أسر المأسورين ظلما في كل مكان من الدنيا، وأن يرفع عن كل بلد من بلاد الإسلام كل محنة وفتنة وشر، إنه القادر على كل شيء. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى concluded by mentioning, we thank and we praise Allah as we do for allowing us to have ease in scattering, and ask Allah for his names and attributes to make us our actions sincere and in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and beneficial for us in this life and in the next. We ask Allah to accept our righteous deeds. We ask Him with His names and attributes to give strength to the Muslims and to Islam, and to debase the kufar and disbelief, and to protect us and give us safety in this country, and to give the same to the Muslims in all parts of the world. We ask Allah to remove the oppressive ruler in Syria, and we ask Allah to show us His might in punishing Russia and China and Iraq and Iran and the party in Lebanon, because of them supporting and assisting the ruler of Syria. So we ask Allah to give ease and to give guidance to the people of Syria. We ask Allah to remove the calamities and the trials and tribulations of the Muslims in all parts of the world, and to raise them and give them ease. Verily, Allah is able to do all things, and our last application, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds.